He might even be grateful, gods forbid. And Tyrion could do with a shade more gratitude from his sovereign. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in the second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, Card Game DB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinners.
No better quote for Thanksgiving, right?
There are almost certainly better quotes for Thanksgiving, but I'm trying to round things out and expose our listeners to a broader range of quotations from the novels.
Well, I'm thankful for the variety.
Exactly. You should be.
And I'm Tommy.
And I'm Will. And I'm thankful for our rotating team aspect, which, I don't know, I think it's no secret to the listeners that over the last month and a half, that has really just turned into whoever is available on a given week. So, there we go.
Well, as one of our favorite movie references and or television show references say, never leave your wingman.
There we go. So there's Tommy holding up team, let's see, Team Glory, I think it would have been this week.
That is
the
one.
Which is the team you're on.
It is. We're sticking to it.
That's your story and you're sticking to it?
Have no choice.
Well, I guess that's how it works then.
But we've got news.
We do. So we've got a new announcement from Fantasy Flight Games. Well, I guess technically it does qualify as an announcement, but there's really not much here. We now know that there will officially be 2017 European Championships at the UK Games Expo from June 2nd through the 4th. And that's about it.
But we know that they're giving it full attention and full support, which I think is good. And, you know, assuming that we don't hear something in the near future that pulls back on what we're expecting, it's great that they're, you know, applying some more attention and effort in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, I think it sounds pretty cool. It's interesting to me that they mention, kind of offhand, the North American championships in one spot, and they mention Gen Con in another spot. So I'm just kind of curious if we're going to see some announcements soon. Like, do they stay with Origins for like U.S. championship, like they went back to last year? That felt kind of last minute. Do they switch something up? Do we keep North American Continentals at Gen Con? I hope. I mean, it would be super lame if they abandoned.
I'd be surprised if they move away from the Nationals and Continentals. I feel like that's the tier structure that they've been looking for all along, and they just haven't executed towards it. And the fact that they're doing this as a European championship, we're probably getting closer to the point where maybe we start, you know, developing that in Europe, where it's FFG supported continentals for Europe and then nationals within Europe. I mean, fingers crossed, right?
Well, I mean, they've had some nationals here and there.
Oh, sure, but I mean, it hasn't been uniform across the entirety of Europe, right? I don't think that every country is getting the national that wants one.
Hopefully that wants one, but certainly not every country has had them. Though, just throwing this out here, if Luxembourg or possibly maybe Liechtenstein wants to have a national, I would love to try and attend that.
Yeah, an excuse to travel there, I'm in.
Yeah, you know, even more so than Stock. Not really more than Stock, but it would be amusing. But, I mean, what's this mean for Stalik? You know, there's no mention of it in the announcement here, so that's kind of awkward.
Like, they don't want to tread on it, right? I mean, I think maybe it's an acceptance of its... Maybe they understand the gravity of Stalik, and they don't want to diminish it by... Whatever they would say, I don't think would build it up to what it would be.
Yeah. And it is nice. I mean, timing-wise, it's a little odd that this was announced the day after Stalik ended. On the other hand, it's nice that the expo they selected is kind of at the opposite end of the calendar from when Stalik is normally scheduled. So, like, timing-wise for the actual events, it's unlikely to, you know, conflict and make people have to choose between one or the other.
Right, and that's kind of what I was getting at, where I feel like it was trying not to step on toes, where, you know, it already has a pre-existing niche, so we know we're going to create this new thing. Let's put it as far away as we can.
Yeah, there we go. And aside from that, I guess there's not too much else from the announcement other than the fact that prize-wise they have announced that the winners of each of the games held here, of each of the tournaments for the different games, not the winner of each game, will each receive travel and accommodations to the World Championship for their game and the first round bye. So,
which again, I think is fantastic because it increases the validity of the World Championship, in my opinion.
Yeah. And interesting little thing here, if you're just skimming, it's easy, I think, to accidentally miss. Along with that is that they're also allotted two free entries to the appropriate World Championship event. So themselves and a companion. Not traveler accommodations, but at least tourney entry. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's something.
And it does reassure folks that both the European and North American champions will each get to design a card. So I think that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, which in another, you know, I don't know, at a different point in the atmosphere of the game, it felt like they were trying to move away from that and diminish the amount of card designs they were giving out. But I think that these are worthwhile events where they should be granting those because they're some of the most heavily attended events in the world.
Oh, agreed. I think this is probably the point that they were trying to bring things down to, right? So now they've limited things to just Joust. They're limiting it to the two continental champions, and I would assume also the world champion. So three cards total is probably the target they were shooting for.
Yep, you still gotta feel a little bit for Australia and for China and for South America, but, you know, if they continue to build their participation and, you know, eventually get to the point where they're equivalent with the North American and European events, I don't see how FFG would hold out on them.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've had Chinese championships in the past.
Sure, but it doesn't seem like they're doing that right now, right?
You know, in terms of card design. Not that I've heard any word of. There was just kind of this, as far as I know, this one kind of blip year What was that, 14, 2014 or 13?
Sounds right.
Yeah, so hopefully that can be made more consistent.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, anything even else with, there on championships?
Not on the championships, but even without Roy here, we should probably make a tip of the cap to the Red Saturday tournament coming up.
We definitely should. They've got that coming up, actually probably the day after many of you listen to this particular episode. But if you happen to listen to this on Friday and have a free Saturday coming up to head up to New York, go check it out. They do an awesome event every year, and I've of course not been able to make it to the other end of the country, but have heard nothing but awesome stuff year after year. So should be a good time.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list. I'm hoping to get there one of these years. Any excuse to go to New York is a good one, but the way that they put this tournament on, it sounds like it's fantastic, and I'd like any opportunity to give it a shot. And then on the coattails of that tournament reminder, we should also say that December 10th, Saturday, we will be having the Windy City Winter Cup in Chicago. So if you can make it out, awesome. Give a message to Tommy on at the White Book if you want to send me a personal message if you need accommodations or recommendations on where to stay or any details about it. I know it's posted all over Facebook, but it's always a great time. It's one of the few tournaments that's actually hosted in a bar, so that's why I love it.
Yeah, sure enough. Well, speaking of tournaments, we did have a big one over the weekend that we have alluded to briefly. So I definitely want to throw some
props. Some might say the biggest
out.
One, right?
I think at this point, everyone would say the biggest one, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah, 286 for second at Joust.
Insane. And,
yeah, friggin' awesome is what it is. And I think it was 159 for Melee. 150-something, I believe. Facebook, unfortunately, has made it absurdly difficult to access this information by not posting things chronologically. So, I apologize.
Well, and they had a pretty legit 1.0 tournament as a side event, too, right?
Yeah, I think 40 people at it. Somewhere right around there.
For a dead game. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, a complete game, I think. Isn't that the terminology that FFG prefers?
I don't know. Let's call up Cthulhu and find out.
But what is dead may never die.
Right.
So anyway, yeah. So some quick nods over there. I definitely want to prop our Melee champion because, hey, Melee, which is awesome, right? IMO.
Yeah, I don't know how to say lol in any European language, so they just get the awesome, right?
Let's see, lol in German, I guess, would be lal? Lol, I suppose? I mean, it'd be L-A-L.
That doesn't sound as cool at all.
I mean, it's almost the same. I guess it's been a while.
Who the
but
hell cares? It's not lol. It's not lol when there's 157 participants, right? I mean, it's damned impressive, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, that takes some skill. So major props to, and I apologize if I butcher your name here, sir, Luis Gustavo Bretas. I could be terrible, but regardless, he took it down with Lanny Rose, which probably would not have been my primary choice to take it down, but definitely my banner choice. You can throw Rose into about anything in Melee, and you can get a lot of extra punch out of that.
It's funny that you say that. That's actually the build that I chose to play for Gen Con for Melee. I didn't actually get to finish the tournament, but I was doing relatively well until the end. And just being able to have those unique knights with the renown and then getting the Play Lady Sansa's Rose, it actually works pretty well.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. You know, you're generating some gold to be able to play the rows, and I mean, I assume you're playing the mountain, and
Yeah, of course,
he
we're
can
making
pretty handily
assumptions on what he
win.
was playing. He could have been doing something entirely different, but
Yeah, but
it feels
I
like the
think
way.
it's a wise choice. Yeah, he's gonna be winning challenges on his own, plus his own renown. You know, there's at least a 4 power swing right there, plus maybe a kill somewhere. And for anyone that doesn't remember it off the top of your head, you can, as long as you hit on the cost, you can kill a character anywhere on the board, not against the person you won the challenge against.
Certainly
So,
opens up your probability.
yeah, you can do some fun stuff there to either force some deals or bring someone into check. So, knowing how potent that can be, I'm betting there's a good chance he was utilizing that. But I would love to actually hear more about his specific build.
For sure. Mad props.
Yeah. Okay, so then on the Joust side, we had a name that I think is no particular surprise to a lot of folks that have been in the community for a while. Florian Moss took it down with Stark Fealty. And for anyone curious, he was playing in the finals versus Janice Roper playing Barrison. And you know, it kind of it, on the one hand, makes me laugh because it kind of plays to stereotype that that Stark tends to reign supreme in Europe. But you know, that's also kind of where the meta is right now. Things have just kind of sat on most people's determination that Lannister and then Stark are the top two, probably in that order most of the time, right?
Yeah, I wonder, do you know if there's a spot online where you can watch that final live? Or obviously not live anymore, but a recording of that
A
final?
recording, you know, I think there was some stuff online. I had not seen a video of that particular match, and of course, thanks to Facebook, it is extremely difficult for me to try to track it down now. So,
Just sounds like a really interesting matchup.
all right, well, props, props to them. Yeah, I'm throwing out props already. That's okay, guys.
It's deserved when it's that kind of accolade.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on to I think our main topic for the episode. This one, of course, is going to be a little bit of a shorter episode with the holiday this week. But we wanted to keep things kind of in theme with the American holiday we've got coming up on Thursday, the day before most of you are listening to this, which is Thanksgiving. So, yeah, you know, always a good time to celebrate not dying over the winter. You know, because of a good harvest and all that jazz. But as well, we thought we would kind of pull it in and connect things with Game of Thrones. Tommy and I are gonna chat for a little bit about things we are thankful for in relation to Game of Thrones. Why don't you lay that first one on me, Tommy?
Well, I'll throw out the first one that I know that you and I are going to overlap on, and
Ooh.
it's one of the best reasons to be involved in the game is the community that we have. We have so many great people and great friends that I know you and I both have made from playing this game, and it makes it a different experience than any of the other FFG games, any of the other games in the market. I feel like Thrones is unique in the people it attracts and the friendships that it builds. So there is nothing more to be thankful for than that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to agree. The community, you know, by and large, continues to be awesome. And as much as I do enjoy playing the game, hanging out with everybody, making friends, seeing the friends I've already made is the thing that keeps me coming back.
Coming and, back, right?
Yep. Over and over. But yeah, yeah, it's a good time. I cannot hardly express enough how thankful I am for everybody else that that plays the game.
Yeah, I knew that that was going to be an overlap for us, so sorry for taking the easy way out on that one.
Yeah, geez. All right, well, fine. I'm going to go with something a little different, maybe a little more controversial. This is kind of a two-parter, okay? So number one, I'm thankful for the Lannister box, and I'm thankful that it didn't cause, let's say, an internet explosion or community uprising. With Lannister already at the top of the heap for so long, of course, there's always the fear that a box that had been scheduled and designed and planned, you know, before that sort of thing really started to come to a head. There's always the fear that that might exacerbate the problem, and instead we got it dumped on us, and you know, it's great to get this big influx of cards, but nothing pushed any like single power level you know, just into that huge boiling point that it could have. So I think sure. I'm thankful for that.
I totally agree with that, and when it comes to the agenda and some of the other plot options that came along with it that open up the environment a little bit more, I think that it's definitely something that we all should be thankful for, because it's going to do nothing but improve the game and the meta.
Yeah, if anything, I'm actually a little worried that, you know, 2 years from now, once we have several other boxes, that we may look back on the Lanny one and go, man, I wish that had been just a little bit stronger for cards that were going to be evergreen. You know,
you know, I'm not so sure about that. I almost feel like maybe it's kind of one of those, the genius isn't going to be realized until a little bit after its time kind of thing, where people go back and say, hey, never really took advantage of that card, but I am gonna now.
Yeah, yeah, I can definitely see that. Of course, some of that depends on other cards coming out probably in cycles, so who knows whenever they rotate out, but we'll see.
Yeah, sounds good. So I've got another one here, and to anybody that regularly listens to the show or knows me at all, it's no surprise, the announcement that was put up on the FFG page today about the impending release of There Is My Claim, I could not be more thankful for that. Not only because, obviously, the implication of Valor returning to the environment, but also I'm extremely excited to try out and play with Jaqen H'ghar. I think that that card is really fun. I'm not sure how successful or competitive it's going to be long-term, but it's just really damn interesting, and I think it's thematic as a design. And I like that they built in the balance of potentially having some ally hate to take care of it in the future, but I'm just really interested and excited to play with it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems super cool. There's just like a Valor theme kind of all around. Okay, so it's two cards, but, you know, whatever.
It's enough. A seven yeah. coster and a plot? I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I actually have to piggyback on that as well and say that I'm very thankful that that pack is finally going to drop, because ever since it was announced, I feel like we've been in kind of a holding pattern, and definitely for at least the last month or so as things got kind of dicey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, you know, what am I going to sit down and build? Well, geez, something I'm probably going to have to pull half of it apart as soon as Valor's out. Or yep. What do we talk about on the podcast? Do we build a deck to fill in a slow week? Well, that deck's probably going to get nuked here in just a little bit. So, you know, say what you will about Valor. I think it is going to shift aspects of the metagame. Probably, maybe not as permanently or as hard as it was in first edition. But I definitely feel like it's going to need to be respected and planned for. So
well, and I think it's going to let people feel free to let their creativity flow now that the environment is going to be, in terms of huge, you know, benchmarks like that, being set for a little while.
Exactly. People are actually gonna feel safe in publishing and talking about and making more direct theorizing and relating gameplay with it in the environment. So that can't come soon enough for me. And thankfully we will have it very soon.
Yep, not long to wait at all. Christmas has come
Yeah.
before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of the state of the kind of commercial mindset in the US these days. I
Right.
about died when I realized Kristen and I went to Walmart on November 1st, right? Traditionally, the day you go buy a shitload of cheap Halloween candy as the store clearances it out. And we went out
Christmas
to just.
music.
To discover, yeah, Christmas music and decorations already, not even like for sale. Those had already been on sale at Walmart for like a month and a half at that point. But like they were fully decorated for Christmas, November 1st.
No doubt, commercialism at its finest.
Yeah, there you go. Thanksgiving, the forgotten holiday. But you know what? We're not forgetting it.
Not today.
Yeah. Okay, so. Does that make it my turn then, or does my kind of like
No, it makes it
communal
your turn.
stealing part of yours count?
It makes it
Because
your turn, but it makes me two for two in overlap.
ah, dang it. Okay. Well, I mean those were fairly obvious ones.
Yep,
So,
predictable.
yeah. Okay. Well, I've got one. Spoiler alert for the TV show and potentially the books, folks. So be wary of the next minute or so, if you care. But it does seem that there was some leaked news out today that seems to destroy the theory that Sansa is pregnant with Roose Bolton's, or sorry, with Ramsay Bolton, Ramsay Snow's son or daughter. And I couldn't be more excited and thankful about that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't like Sansa, but that was just going to send me into even new realms of just mind-numbing disturbingness, you know?
Yeah, that is definitely not a shame. That needed to be dispelled, and I'm glad it was.
Yeah, also, I hope you don't care about the spoiler, Tommy, because I didn't give you any actual warning what that was going to be about.
No, I'm a glutton for the spoiler.
Okay, good.
And I will also drop one as my thankful for that apparently, based on what we're hearing, Gendry is finally done rowing. And is returning to the show this season. So,
What?
yeah, he's
I
been
had not seen
spotted in
that.
costume on set. And
Huh.
even though I don't necessarily care about his character or anything, at least everybody's going to stop speculating where the hell he's rowing to.
Yeah, but man, some of those memes have been so good. So good.
Yeah, you're not wrong. They have been good, but I mean, come on.
Okay, well that's fair. I hadn't cared too much about him in the show, but it always just felt like there was going to be more with him in the books, kind of the way things about him and descriptions were phrased and
I
scenes were
think
kind of
there
set.
still might be.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's gonna go, but it kept feeling like something was really going to matter about at least one of Robert's bastards that we can fully identify. So
So
that's what Gendry, Mia Stone, and oh dag nabbit, what's the one that was at Storm's End?
oh man, Edric.
Yeah, and Edric Storm.
So, one of the interesting theories that I heard relating to that was that it would be a situation where both Jon Snow and Daenerys are killed in their fight with the White Walkers, but they both win the victory for the Seven Kingdoms, and the information comes out either via Sam and his time spent in Old Town or something like that, and it's discovered that one of Robert's bastards would be the subsequent heir, and so then Gendry actually ends up as king. Not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying that, you know, if you actually are one of those, you know, Robert Bastard truthers, I don't think that you're necessarily not going to be fulfilled in the end. There's the window's still open, even though the door may be closed.
Yeah, we'll see. I think odds are low that it would be Gendry. I think it would be much higher if that were to come to pass that it would wind up being Edric, but
yeah, they could all be dead. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of death. But, you know, speaking of people coming back like that, this isn't really a thankful. This is just me wondering, when are we going to find out what was going on with the friggin' Dark Star? Is that going to be explained, or you think Martin's just dropping that? You know, there were these comments about how he's the most dangerous man in Dorne, and kind of these hints that he's got some kind of secret and whatnot. And then he just kind of turns tail and runs away midway through Feast for Crows, and I'm like, what the heck?
It kind of feels like they merged that storyline in the TV show into the Sand Snakes, but it's possible in the books we might get to see the outcome of it. Maybe in the books he is the one that carries out some of those killings that we see the Sand Snakes and Ilaria responsible for, but who knows? I mean, Dorne became a clusterfuck the second Bronn set foot there.
Oh, yeah. Whew. Okay, you know what? We're heading down a real dark.
Yeah, we're not thankful anymore, damn it.
We're not being thankful. You know, I've got at least one more to round out my thankfulness. I'm going to throw out there that I am thankful for Tyrell as a faction. Okay, I know they're not the best, they're not great, and they just keep getting way too many card draw and filtering effects and nothing to really spend it on. But dagnabbit, that there's a faction out there now that hasn't quite been figured out, that it keeps giving me something to tinker with, right? I can live that dream of maybe, just maybe I'm going to figure out how to put this together into something winning.
Well, and the hint of potential pieces for combo, right? They're like a Thanksgiving guest. They show up with their gift to Arbor Red and, hey, think about combo still, right?
Yeah, there you go.
put an Arbor on itself that for you.
Yeah, the Arbor itself is a big reason to be to have any thankfulness on that front, especially with Valor coming. So there's another way to tie the two of those together. I think if that does come together, it's probably going to be on the back of the two of those cards connected.
Agreed.
All right. Well, anything else on your thankful list, Tommy?
You know, I think that that's just enough to bore people.
All right. Perfect. Well, sorry for the short episode this week, listeners. As well, sorry for the fact that our thankfulness segment was really just a glorified props and slops. But I figure you probably could have guessed that when we first started into it.
Yeah, you know, what can be done when there's only two flying in?
Only two. We got a holiday coming up. Tommy's got to hop off of here within like a minute to go do a conference call for work. It's tough. We're down to the wire. I might even say we are in the...
Oh, we've been in the danger zone.
Yeah, we have.
Notice that enthusiasm headed off for that kind of call, but hey, what are you going to do?
Exactly. What better way to close off another chapter in the White Book?